Hey there, this is David from MrCracker.com, and this is the 14th episode of the Cracker Cast podcast. Let's get right into the news for this week. First up, we have Uncle Sam wants you to fight hackers. So the U.S. government is stepping up recruitment of engineers and hackers who can help wage cyber war. And as discussed in a previous episode, the government has been holding small competitions around the United States for the purpose of recruiting some of the best hackers out there, and specifically young hackers, ages teenagers to like early 20s. But now they're stepping it up a notch and holding a lot more in different colleges and universities all over the United States. Because, according to this article, and within the next 3 years, the U.S. public and private sectors will need about 60,000 cybersecurity workers, and there's supposed to be a shortage. So those of you who are getting into computer security, network security as a career, you guys will definitely have a job, at least in the United States. But as you can see, this is becoming a very serious thing. A lot of governments are creating their own cyber armies, and if those that haven't are following along in the footsteps of these bigger countries and getting it there, because if you've been following the news, there's been a lot of country to country kind of cyber warfare battling, and this country is blaming that country for this thing and that thing. So it's becoming a really big risk, and considering the fact that the whole world is connected via the internet, it's very risky. So you got to stay on top of this, and this is why the United States, along with other countries, is starting to take it a lot more seriously in hiring a lot of cybersecurity specialists. Next up, we have hacker jailbreaks the iPad less than a day after release. So unless you've been living under a rock, you guys know of the iPad that just was released, and it's a very neat device from Apple. It's pretty much a oversized iPhone. Well, as you know, the iPhone's been jailbroken easily, and now, even before a day passes by of the iPad's release, a person has already cracked it or jailbroke it, and has root access to the iPad. And the way they did it was kind of sad, because they used a old previous vulnerability in Safari. And they used a vulnerability that already existed, that should have been patched and should have been not have been released with the iPad, but was, and now they were able to get root. Anyways, next up we have, this is a pretty interesting article. It's called The Top 10 Positions in a Hacker Organization. And this is based on a talk that was given by an FBI agent, and he says that these companies, these hacker organizations, are becoming more organized and being run like a corporate organization, you know? And they're saying that the top 10 positions in these, you know, these underground hacker organization kind of malicious groups are the following 10. First up, we have coders and programmers, and these are the guys who write the code for malware and vulnerabilities. And then there's the distributors, and these guys trade and sell stolen data and act as vouchers for the goods provided by the other specialists. Number three, we have tech experts, and they maintain the hacking organization's IT infrastructure, including servers, encryption technologies, databases, and things like that. Fourth, we have the actual hackers. They search for and exploit applications, systems, and network vulnerabilities. Then we have the fraudsters for number five, and they create and deploy various social engineering schemes, for example, phishing and spam, and they do that to dupe computer users into, you know, downloading their malware and such, giving over their money. Number six, we have hosted systems providers, and these are the guys that offer safe hosting for illicit content, servers, and sites. So these guys host all the bad websites that provide malware and the bad guys' servers, pretty much. Then we have number seven, the cashiers. They obviously control the drop accounts and provide names and accounts to other criminals for a fee. Number eight, money mules. These money mules complete wire transfers between bank accounts, and the money mules in many cases are used use student and work visas to travel to the U.S. to open new bank accounts. And then number 9, we have the tellers, and they transfer and launder illicitly gained proceeds through digital currency services and different world currencies. So, you know, these things like PayPal and things like that to transfer money. Next, we have organization leaders, and these are they are the often people persons without technical skills. Their job is to select the team and choose targets, because you got to have, you know, those organization leaders to put everything together and all the people together. As you can see, they're getting more advanced and more advanced, more organized, and it's not exactly a good thing, because they're going to be more successful, obviously, in their dirty deeds. All right, next we have smart meters have security holes. So the electric companies have been coming out with these new smart meters designed to help deliver electricity more efficiently, but they've been found, as a hacker found, that they have security flaws. And this guy who's been, you know, testing the, he's a security analyst, and he was, I believe he was hired by the company to test the system. I'm not sure, I believe he was. But he says that he found vulnerabilities that allow the exploitation of these smart meters via wireless, like through your laptop. You can basically connect to the wireless network and basically change things. Or physically, you know, if you actually get that meter out of the house and bring it home and reprogram it, obviously that's not really ideal and wouldn't really happen because, well, obviously. But the wireless part was actually kind of disturbing because, you know, anyone can park next to your house, and if they know what network to get onto and how to get in, blah, 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 they could do a lot of damage. Now, he said that the little things that could happen is that they could, you know, spike your energy bill. But the worst things that could happen is the ability to turn off anyone's power at their own will, you know, whenever they want. So it's kind of scary thing there. I was actually talking to a relative recently, and he works for a big electronics company. Not electronics company, but energy company. And he said that every time I talk to him, and, you know, hacking, cybersecurity comes into the conversation, and he asks me what I'm planning to do with my future, you know, what I want to work or blah, blah, blah. And I tell him, you know, I'm into cybersecurity, computer security, network security. And he always tells me that the money is in these energy companies and the smart meters. And he says that the company and other similar companies are investing billions of dollars in security. They're hiring huge, massive amounts of teams and people just to, you know, take care of security for these type of, you know, meters and things related. It's just interesting to point out because obviously, it is a problem. And as you can see, this company was able to find problems with the meters, and these meters are being distributed at a mass scale, like around 8 million at a time being deployed, and they want nearly 16 million to be in place by 2020. That's if we get past 2012. Alright, last up we have Chinese city is world's hacker hub. So this is actually really interesting because what they're saying is that there's a, you know, kind of a hacker's world hacker city, you know, hacker hub. Because according to Symantec, almost 30% of all malicious emails were sent from China, but 21.3% came from this one city in China, and I believe it's pronounced Shaoxing. I don't know. That's what it sounds like. Shaoxing. Shaoxing. But they're saying that this is like the world's hacker hub because this is where the most targeted attacks come from, this one city. So that was interesting. And that's it pretty much for this week's news. Obviously, there's a lot more. And if you want to read the rest of the news articles for this week and every preceding week, you can go to MrCracker.com. Look over on the right-hand side of the website. You should see an opt-in box. Put in your name and email address. And click submit. You'll receive an email that'll ask you to confirm your email address. Click the link and bam, you are confirmed. But that's it for this week's news. Let's get into the main topic. So the main topic will be about malware and the differences between the different types of malware. And the main three types that most people know and the most popular three are viruses, worms, and trojans. Now, most people misinterpret what a virus is or a worm or a trojan, and they usually call every one of these a virus. So even if, you know, you come across a worm or a trojan, most people will be like, oh, I got a virus. And what I want to do is look at the differences between each one and show you how they all differ and what, in fact, is a worm and a trojan and a virus and what isn't. So Let's start with the first one. What makes a program a virus? Okay, well, obviously a virus does something bad to your system, or basically it's a malicious program. And it infects your computer, and once it infects your computer, it reproduces itself, right? And infects lots of different files on your computer. Now, the way a virus becomes a virus is that it needs to be able to infect you. It counts on the actual end user, the person who downloads that program or come across that program, to actually run it. It can't start and replicate itself and do its deeds unless it is run by the person on that computer. So let's say it's a program, and you double click on it, and now it's run. And a virus is usually like a parasite. It needs another host to attach to. So what you may think is a installation file for your favorite media player can in fact be attached to a virus, or a virus could be attached to that program and be that parasite while the program is the host. So when you run that program, in reality, you're actually running the program along with that virus, and you're running that virus and unleashing it on your system. So that's what makes it a virus. It needs to be run by the user, and then it goes on and reproduces itself and infects other programs on your computer, other files. Now, a worm is, in essence, is very similar to a virus, except of the one main difference. It doesn't need another person or an end user or anyone to have it run and do its deed, replicate itself. It doesn't depend on anyone else. It self-replicates itself. And then, once it infects a system, it can infect other people on that, other computers on that network and over the internet. So the way this usually works is that a worm is infected, and a computer is affected by a worm, and that computer, the worm on that computer will use that computer to to scan all the whole network and try to attack each computer on that network on its own. And if it can attack a computer, and it can if it finds a vulnerability in the, maybe the operating system, whatever that worm uses to infect the system, and it notices that it's running that service, or maybe it's an operating system vulnerability, and it'll exploit it from the infected computer, and then it'll infect that computer and replicate itself onto that computer. So it basically self-replicates itself. And then from that network, from that computer, it'll continue to do the same thing. So basically, that's what makes it a worm. It self-replicates itself and infects other computers on the network and over the internet by scanning, random IP addresses. And first thing, if they're online, if it is, it'll probe it to see if maybe it's running that service that is vulnerable. And if it is, it'll infect it. And then, bam, replicate itself onto that computer and then continue on. It's basically a big tree effect. Starts at one computer, goes on to, one to two more, from those, two, three, three, and continues on and on and on and on until it stops for some reason. So that's what a worm is. It doesn't need someone to make it run to begin it. It self-replicates itself and infects other computers. Now let's look at Trojans. Okay, a Trojan is a little bit different than the virus, but it does bad things. So basically, usually a Trojan will do like kind of a prank type things, like hide your start menu, make files disappear, mess with your mouse. But most of the Trojans nowadays have a malicious, more malicious, cause. Basically, they can take over your webcam and see what you're seeing. Basically, usually yourself. They can log your keystrokes. They can access your files. They can run any system command on your computer. They can copy files from your computer and to your computer. As you can see, just a bunch of things that you wouldn't want happening on your computer. They can take screenshots of your computer, whatever you're doing at the moment. They can take a screenshot and send it to themselves. So that's the point of a Trojan. A Trojan, like a virus, doesn't replicate itself, doesn't reproduce. So that's the difference between a Trojan and a virus. So once again, virus needs It's like a parasite, and it has a host program that attaches itself to, and it needs the end user to actually run it to be able to start the virus. And then it reproduces itself on that computer. A worm, it doesn't need another person to run it. It self-replicates itself and infects other systems from each computer that it infects. And then the Trojan, it's basically just a malicious program that needs a user to run to basically start the program. So to start a Trojan, it needs the person to run it, to run that file, kind of like a virus. But a Trojan, unlike a virus, doesn't replicate itself. It's just that one main program that just does bad things to your computer, or just gives the attacker access to your files and to your system in general. So that's the three main types of malware out there today. And so now you'll know what a virus is, worm, and a Trojan, and won't call everything a virus like most people do that I come across. So that's it for the main topic. This week's hacker website is hackernews.com, and it is a weekly online news network. They come out with a video each week about all the hacker news of that week, and they put it together in a nice video in the format a regular news station would have it made. So it's very interesting, and I follow it, and you should too. And that is this week's website. If you have any suggestions for any other websites that are related to computer security and or hacking, and shoot me an email at comments@mrcracker.com. That's it for episode 14 of the Cracker Cast podcast. This was David from mrcracker.com. And if you want to read, a bunch of cool articles and keep up with the podcast, subscribe to the podcast or the blog, go ahead to mrcracker.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, my Twitter is twitter.com/mrcracker. And that is it. So if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, feel free to email me at comments@mrcracker.com. I would love to answer any of your questions that you have on the show, and any comments you have about the show, any suggestions you have. I'd love to, check them out and see what I can do. So that's it for this week's episode. I'll see you in a week or two.